Well, amen. Again, praise the Lord for what he's done in this place. I trust that that is your testimony this morning, that your heart is full of praise. And you can be full of praise in January. That's okay, because the Lord is still good. And so we praise the Lord for that special this morning. And again, what a blessing it has been to be in God's house today. And trust that we're just getting started here. Of course, we have this service, and then we have this evening service tonight. And Sunday is such a wonderful day that God has given to us to be able to worship him. And so praise the Lord for this church. And I'm thankful again that you're here today, all right? So let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 32 this morning. Exodus in chapter 32 today. And as I was praying this week about what I would speak on or what the Lord would have me to speak on, he brought me to this passage. And when you found your place in God's Word, if you'd be able to stand this morning, if you're physically able, I invite you to stand. For the reading of God's Word, we're going to read verses 1 down through verse 8. Just to give you a background real quick before we get into the reading of God's Word this morning. God has brought the children of Israel to a stopping point in their journey between coming out of Egypt and going into the Promised Land. They're there at the base of Mount Sinai, and God has called Moses up to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, he's communicating with him and speaking with him. And the Bible says in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 32, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now look at God's words there, what he says here in this passage. They said, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. I want you to think about this. The children of Israel turned away from Almighty God to worship a cheap imitation. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Don't Be Fooled by the Devil's Cheap Imitation. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, as we come before you today, we're grateful for who you are. Lord, what a wonderful thing it has been to be in your house this morning and how you have spoken to all of our hearts, Lord, through the music. And, Lord, it's ministered to us. No doubt, Lord, I trust that we're in a frame of mind to be able to hear from your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me today, Lord, to call me and help me to speak what you have laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that I'd be able to portray the message that you've given to me this morning. And Lord, I pray for each and every person that is here today. Lord, I understand. For some, it may not have been easy to get to church, Lord, and they didn't come here just to waste their time. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help them, Lord, as your Holy Spirit begins to work in our midst to apply this message in their hearts and their lives. Lord, I pray that you'd give them exactly what they have need of today. And Lord, I pray when all is said and done that we would rejoice and know that you have been lifted up in this place. Well, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. As I look at this text here, it's almost comical if it weren't so sad what's going on here in this text. I mean, you think about the Israelites. They take off their jewelry that they have on their person. They give it to Aaron. He boils it down and he makes it into a moldable thing, and then he begins to form a golden calf. And then he sets it in front of the people, and this thing that they have just made with their hands, they begin to give it credit. They say, "This is our God. This is the one that brought us out of Egypt." Some months before, they begin to give credit. And to be honest, as you look at this passage, if it weren't so sad, it might be somewhat comical. The truth is, a golden calf might be pretty to look at, but it sure is a cheap invitation for God Almighty. I mean, it might look pretty, but it has no ability. And you begin to contrast that with the almighty power of God. You begin to see what a cheap imitation it was. Our text here records a period along the Israelites' journey. God's brought them, of course, out of Egypt, and I'm sure you're familiar with that, and just watching God's mighty hand of bringing them out of Egypt. And the idea there was that God was going to bring them along in their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And I might just say this morning, if they were, I mean, you're talking about at least a couple million of people. If they were to go from Egypt to the Promised Land, if they were going to be successful in their journey, one thing we know for sure is they would have to trust God all along the way. They would have to have God's help. And by the way, let me just say, I'm reminded this morning that isn't it a wonderful God who redeems us out of sin? I want you to think about the day of your salvation, the day that God redeemed you and he placed you and he cleansed you from your sins. And he redeemed your heart and your soul. And then the work that God is doing as he's bringing you along in this life. Can I tell you, for us to successfully live this life, we must trust God. We've got to have his help and we've got to have his hand. And so we see that with the children of Israel. And by the way, I'd also say this, God had given them every reason to trust him. God had not let them down once yet. In fact, they witnessed his power. I want you to think about the Exodus from Egypt. Now, listen, that's a story that all of us have heard from just the time that we were tiny children. Those 10 plagues that would come in, and yet we realize this, Egypt was a world superpower. There is no reason that they would have just simply let the children of Israel walk free outside of what God began to do in their lives and the plagues that God would bring. And so they saw the power of God in the Exodus from Egypt. And not only that, they saw his presence along the journey. I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 13. I want you to see this. And not only did they know that God was a powerful God, they had seen him bring them out of Egypt. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 20, "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." I love that thought. Not only do they know that God was a powerful God, but then they experienced his presence. And God had given them two things. God had given them a cloud by day to lead them. The Bible says to lead them by the way. Wouldn't it be great if God gave us a cloud to follow after him? I mean, can you imagine? There they are, and the cloud begins to move, and all they had to do is move with the cloud. The cloud stops. It's the presence of God, by the way, to lead them by the way. And so if the cloud moves, they move. And if the cloud stops, they stop. He also gave them a pillar of fire, no doubt to give them light at the nighttime and to keep them warm and those things. And so God had given them not only his power, but we see his presence. We see his provision there as God would literally place food on the ground for them every morning. God would prepare meals for them on a daily basis. And all of these things, they watched God do these things. And I can tell you this morning. They knew who God was. God had revealed himself to them. They knew who God was. They knew that he could be trusted. And they knew what he desired from them. Listen, can I tell you today, if you're saved, you know who God is. You know that you can trust God. And you know what he desires for your life. Know that he desires for you to follow after him. And I love this because once they understood these things in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 3, let me just read it to you very quickly. The Bible says, "And Moses came and told all the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. They said, we know who God is. We know that he can be trusted. We know that he desires for our lives to follow him. And they said, this we will do. We will follow after him. Can I remind you that is just 40 days prior to what we just read here in our text this morning? And yet how foolish the children of Israel look some 40 days later. They've crafted a golden calf from their belongings. They've literally taken the earrings out of their ears and possibly the jewelry off their hands, and they've crafted a golden calf from their belongings, and they've given it credit for what God had done. They said, this is our God now. This is the God that led us out of Egypt. They offered offerings to it, and they worshiped it. And I might just say this morning, distracted by the devil, they turned from God to a cheap imitation. Distracted by the devil. And can I tell you this morning, as we study this passage, we gain powerful insight as to how the devil works in our lives and how easily sometimes we are distracted by his cheap imitations. Can I tell you this morning, we chase happiness, thinking that we can find it in things. If I could just have a better car, I'd be happy. If I could just have a better house, or if I could just have this thing or that thing, I would be happy. And so in a pursuit of those things, we begin to chase things in order to find happiness. We chase joy thinking we can find it in good circumstances. If this would just go away, this period of life, I'm just in a stage of life and I'm just dealing with this circumstance, but if I could just get rid of this thing, then I would understand joy. So we chase joy in circumstances. We chase peace thinking we can find it in financial stability. This will be my year. Finally get that raise or that promotion. We chase these things and we say, if I could just have some financial stability, if I could just get this debt taken care of, then I would have peace in my life. And we chase pleasure thinking we can find it in relationships and experiences. If I could just travel the world, then I'd be happy. Then I'd have joy. Then I'd have these things. If I could just find that right person, if I could just have a relationship, then I'd have the pleasure that I'm looking for in this life. And yet I would say this morning, all of these things are available in Christ. Happiness, peace, joy and pleasure. And they're all found in Christ, and beyond that, hundreds of other blessings. And yet, here's what happens. The devil comes along with a cheap imitation of these things. He says, if you just go after that, you can have it. Or if you just follow after this thing, you can have it. And he's blinded so many through a cheap imitation. And yet, I believe there's some valuable lessons, again, that we can learn from this passage. By the way, there's so much more in this passage than we could truly talk about in just a few moments this morning. And so I've just highlighted two things that really jump out of this page to me. And I see some warning signs from the Israelites that we must be aware of in our own life. And the first thing that I see here is this, that the Israelites grew tired of waiting on God. The Israelites grew tired of waiting on God. The Bible says in verse 1, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. You see, what we find here in this passage is that God had brought the Israelites to a place of waiting. It's almost as though God had called a timeout. He said, I'm going to bring you here and I'm going to let you stay here for a little bit of time in your life. Back in chapter 24, we find that it was exactly 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I'm not a very patient person. I don't like to wait on anything. And my wife is a little bit more patient than I am. And I remember when we first got married, we would want to go out for a nice dinner somewhere. And I remember times when we went to three or four different restaurants before we finally found a place that didn't have a wait. And all the while, she's frustrated. And the truth is that I'm just trying to find a place where I didn't have to wait. And probably spent more time trying to find a restaurant to go to. But patience isn't really a Folger personality trait that we have. It's kind of a flaw that we have. My kids can attest to that. Some of them have it as well. And yet, can I tell you this morning that many of us don't like to wait? And yet sometimes, can I tell you that God puts us in a place of waiting? Think about it this way. Some of you right now, this morning, are in God's waiting room in your life. Like the children of Israel, it's possible that God's called a timeout in your life, and he said, listen, I'm going to put you in a period of waiting right now. Sometimes it's a decision that needs to be made, and we're praying for God's direction, and we're begging God, God, would you please give us wisdom to make the right decision? Sometimes God says, just wait for right now. Sometimes it's a circumstance. It may be a health thing that we have going on, or maybe another circumstance of life, and we're saying, Lord, would you please remove this thing from my life? Would you please bring me out of this period of waiting? And God says, I want you to wait a little longer. And listen, in a congregation this size, no doubt there are people here this morning, and you say, Brother Andy, I know exactly what you're talking about. That describes my life right now. I'm in this place of waiting. Can I tell you, sometimes it's easier to manufacture something in your own strength than it is to wait on God. I mean, that's what we see here in this passage. Here's a group of people, and they're saying, we don't want to wait any longer, so therefore, we're going to take our gold, and we're going to fashion a god, and we're going to have it and manufacture it in our own strength, because that's easier than waiting on God. Yeah, can I tell you this morning what a foolish decision that was? And what a foolish decision it would be in our lives if God has not given us direction to just continue to move forward. Rather than wait on God's direction, they turned aside to a cheap imitation. They said, this is now our God. Can I tell you, when we're in God's waiting room, we need to remember some things. These things would have been helpful for the children of Israel to remember. We need to remember, first of all, that God always has a plan. God always has a plan. Listen, if you're in waiting on God today, can I tell you, just continue to wait on him. Because God always has a plan. God knows what he's doing. Isaiah would remind us that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Have you ever thought this? Well, Lord, I see what you're doing here, but I'm not sure I would have done it that way. If I was in charge, I don't think I would have allowed this circumstance to come into my life. And it's almost like we begrudge God because he's allowed something to come into our lives. And I want you to understand this morning, listen, we have to trust God and realize that his ways are higher than our ways. I don't want to be in this place of waiting, but understand this, God has me here for a reason. So trust his plan, even if it means you have to wait. If they would have just remembered, listen, God has a plan. God's going to take us from Egypt, and he's going to take us to the promised land. But God's called a time out, so he must have a purpose in this place. We don't have time to go and read all of the verses that are found in chapters 25 through first chapter 31. But I'll tell you this, in this 40 days of waiting, God is giving Moses detailed instruction on how the Israelites were to live and to worship so that they could successfully go into the promised land. In other words, can I tell you, these 40 days were crucial for the success of the children of Israel. And God was instructing Moses, and he's saying, listen, this is what needs to happen, and this is how they're to live, this is how they're to worship, this is how they're to behave so that they can go into the promised land. And yet, can I tell you this morning, the Israelites believed the lie that God had abandoned them. I guess God's forgotten about us. Moses is gone. We what not has become of him. We watched him go up into the cloud and into the mountain some 40 days ago. I suppose we'll never see him again. They believed the lie that God had abandoned them, when truthfully, God was preparing them. God was using this timeout, this waiting room, these 40 days to prepare them so that they can move forward. And I can tell you this morning, if you're there today, if you're in this waiting period of life, that you'll find yourself, that God is preparing you for the next step. Sometimes God puts us in a place so that he says, I need to work some things in your life. These things will prepare you for the next step, and we don't always understand that, but we must understand, first of all, that God always has a plan, and then we also need to understand the second thing as we wait on God, that God is always at work. That God is always at work. Can I tell you, sometimes God puts us in a place of waiting so that we can do nothing but see him at work. There's sometimes that God says, listen, you're going through this life way too fast. Listen, I understand. We're raising four kids. They're involved in sports and school and every other activity. Sometimes it's like life just goes bang, bang, bang every day. I mean, you get out of bed and you just go through the day and you don't even think about things. And yet along the way, there are times that God puts us in a holding area. I was about to say a holding cell, but I guess that wouldn't be good, right? God puts us in a waiting room. It says, because I want you to see me at work here in this waiting room. In fact, go back to Exodus chapter 14 because the children of Israel had just come out of one of those. Exodus in chapter 14. God brought them, of course, out of Egypt. And you know the story. Just a few days later, God brings them to the edge of the Red Sea. God had a little waiting room prepared for the children of Israel right there on the banks of the Red Sea. They look forward and they see this sea that's out there. There's no boats that they can get on. They certainly can't swim across it. They look behind them and they see Pharaoh's army closing in on them. And that's where God has them. And he says, listen, I've got a waiting room prepared for you right here on the banks of the Red Sea. The Bible says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. He says, listen, I know you're probably afraid right now, but don't be afraid. Isn't that wonderful when we can trust God and we can just look to him and listen, life circumstances may be fearful. And there may be some difficulties that we're currently enduring. And we may be fearful about the future, but God says, listen, don't be afraid. I'm working in this circumstance. I'm working in this difficulty. He says, fear not and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. And then I love this. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I love it. No doubt Moses is standing there. He points, he says, you see those people over there? Say goodbye to them because this is the last time you'll see them ever again. Because God has you in this place and you need to see God at work. And so God put them in a place. Listen, they had to realize only God, and if God doesn't come through for us, then we're done for. And yet God put them in a place of waiting so they could see God's mighty hand at work. I think about some of the waiting rooms that I've been in this life. Some of those times where God called a time out and he said, I just need you to focus on me here for a minute. One of the things that I often think about when I think about that is when Sheree and I first got married. We'd only been married for just a couple of months, and we got married in June, and we were up in Cleveland serving the Lord there. And I remember, she had just started teaching in the Christian school that was there, and she got very sick. And we had no idea what was going on. We ended up taking her to the emergency room, and we were at the Cleveland Clinic, and they put her in for at least, I think, about a week there at the Cleveland Clinic. And I got to be honest with you, I was a little bit upset at what was going on. And I'm thinking, Lord, I really don't understand. Here we are. I mean, we've given our lives to serve you. We're here, and we're trying to do our best here, and my wife is trying to teach this class, and we just got married. This is really not how things are supposed to be. It was about a 30-minute drive from the place where we live to the Cleveland Clinic, and so I was driving back and forth trying to do my job and going back and forth and had a lot of time on my hands, and quite honest, I could tell you, had just a few pity parties between my house and the hospital. And had a lot of time to think. And I remember, as we went through that, I'm thinking, God, why would you allow this to happen? But I can also tell you that as he began to work in that situation, began to put our eyes on him. God began to do some unusual things in that situation. I remember with Cleveland Clinic, it's a teaching hospital. There'll be a lot of residents in there. And I remember standing there at the bed, and there would be 7 or 8 doctors around Cherie's bed, and they'd all have their notebooks. This was before the digital world, and they'd be writing notes and asking questions and all kinds of things. They ran all kinds of tests. They never did come up with a conclusion, but God healed her. They said, we don't know what really has happened, but she was able to leave and she's never dealt with that issue again. But I'm just simply saying, listen, God put us in a waiting room so that we would see God work in our lives. Beyond that, God did so many things to strengthen our faith. And I'll say this, listen, I wouldn't want my wife to have to go through that again. But on this side of it, we sure are thankful that God put us in a place of waiting, that God allowed us to see him at work. And I'll tell you this, listen, when God brings you to a timeout place in your life sometimes, in the midst of that, you may be upset and say, God, what are you doing here? But I want you to trust him and just watch him at work in your life, knowing that he can help you and he can take you through that. And so we find that not only does God always have a plan, not only is God always at work, but then we find this, that God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect. Can I tell you, as we study chapter 31, we find that in verse 18, the Bible says that he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony. Tables of stone written with the finger of God. And then we come to chapter 32, and what I want you to see is that God has just finished with Moses. Moses is on his way down the mountain when the children of Israel turn aside from God. In other words, if they just would have held on a little bit longer. Moses was on his way when the people quit waiting on God. And yet I thought this morning, I wonder how many foolish decisions have been made just hours before God broke through. How many people said, I'm tired of waiting on God, and I'm tired of waiting on his timing, and therefore we're just going to do something on our own. And yet, here's what I want you to understand this morning. We don't always know his plans or his timing, but we must trust him when he has us in his waiting room. But think about that. God always has a plan. He's always at work, and his timing is always perfect. The first thing we see in this passage is that they quit waiting on God. And secondly, and very quickly, we won't have much time here left this morning. The second thing that I see in this passage is that they failed to recognize his blessings. They failed to recognize his blessings. Not only did they quit waiting on God, but they failed to recognize the things that he had already done in their lives. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after that he had made it a molten calf. Now, what we must understand about these people is that every one of them had been born into slavery. Not only that, you know the history of the children of Israel. For the past 400 years, their families were in slavery. So the question this morning is this: where did they get these things? Where did they get the jewels? Where did they get the gold that they had to be able to make this molten calf? Where did these things come from? And the answer, and you know what the answer is this, that God gave them these things. It was God that placed these things in their hands. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 19, let me read it for you very quickly. Just look, copy it down, and you can look it up later. But the Bible says in verse 19, God was speaking to Moses. He says, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And then he says this, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. God says, I'm going to bring you out with a mighty hand, but before I bring you out, I'm going to prepare you for the journey. I'm going to give you jewels of silver. I'm going to give you jewels of gold. I'm going to give you your clothing. Listen, Egypt was a very wealthy land. God would have outfitted his children very, very nicely so that they could make the journey from Egypt to the promised land, not only for the journey's sake, but so that when they got to the promised land, they'd be set up for successful living there in the promised land. God had given them these things. Can I tell you, it was God's plan for them to take these things and to use them for him. Those earrings and those jewels should have been a daily reminder of what God had done, what God was doing, and what God was going to do. Every time they touched their ears and they touched those earrings, every time they looked at those rings and they looked at the clothing that was upon their body, they should have remembered, listen, this is what God has done, this is what God is doing, this is what God is going to do. It should have been a reminder, and yet, can I tell you this morning, they used what God had given them to go against his will. It took the very things that God had given them and said, no, we don't want to use them to follow God anymore. We're tired of waiting on God. We want to do our own thing. They failed to recognize God's blessings. As I was studying this passage, the Lord began to bring to mind in my life all that he's done through my life. I remember, of course, my childhood. And I'm thankful for the heritage that God has given me. I was thinking this morning, I think I'm a fourth generation Christian. What a blessing that is, at least as far as I know. My grandfather was involved in the ministry. My father is involved in the ministry. It's a great blessing for me to be involved in the ministry. All of those things are blessings from God. I remember the day that God brought Cherie into my life. It was a Sunday morning. It was in January. I was there in Oklahoma City. I was a student at Heartland Baptist Bible College. We had new students because it was a new semester, and Cherie had come in as a new student. And I remember the Sunday school teacher, he told me and one other guy, he said, go find the new students and welcome them. And all I heard was, go find the pretty girls and welcome them to school. And so I found one. Started talking to her. My friend kept on moving. I didn't keep on moving. I stayed. And of course, I said, this is someone I want to get to know more. And over the period of time, we, of course, as they say, the rest is history, right? Began to communicate with one another. I didn't mess it up too bad, I guess. And I asked her to be my girlfriend, and she fell for it. And here we are today. What an absolute blessing from God. I think about the four kids that God has given to us. All an absolute blessing from God. I mean, there are moments, right? But that's how it goes. I had my moments too, and you did too. But what an absolute blessing from God. I think about God bringing us to Indianapolis. We were there serving in Cleveland. I mentioned that for 5 years, and we loved it there. We really did. Some of the people say, how could you love Cleveland? It's a great place. Lord, it was a blessing. And I remember, it's almost as though God called a time out there, and he put us in a waiting room. And I remember counseling with my dad, who was my pastor at the time. I said, Dad, I don't understand it, but it just feels like God has something different for us. He said, I'll pray with you about that. And it was a period of 3 or 4 months, and I'm thinking, listen, we're leaving something great that we have here. And I remember having to have God's confirmation in that, to know that we're going to leave that. I mean, it wasn't just me. It was my wife and my children. And God just giving us direction to bring us here to Indianapolis. What an absolute blessing. I think about the home that we live in today. Hilda was our realtor, and I remember, so we're looking for a home, and she sent us several, and we looked at them on the computer, and Sheree said, I like this one. She said, can we go see it? It was just 2 minutes from the church. Can we go look at it? It was a home that had been foreclosed on, and so we pulled into the parking lot or the driveway. Got out, began to walk around the house, and no one's living in it, and so we're looking in the windows, we probably look like creeps, and, you know, I mean, we're just here, and we're looking at that, and she says this, I mean, this is the first, we haven't even gone inside this house, she goes, this is the one, God's going to give us this house, and I'm thinking, I've got to be the practical one, I've got to help my wife here, I mean, she's setting herself up for something that may not happen, and so I'm thinking, whoa, you know, don't say that just yet. And she goes, no, I know. God's going to give us this house. And I think that was 2011, and we still live in that house today. And literally, I don't have time to go through all the story, but literally God just dropped that house in our lap. I mean, of all the other ones that we looked at, he said, this is the one for you, and I'm just going to make a way for it to happen. And the story is incredible. And can I tell you this morning, those are all big blessings, all huge blessings in my life. Those are life-changing type of things. And yet I could stand here for hours, and I promise I won't this morning. It'll just be a few more moments. But I could stand here for hours and just talk about big blessings and little blessings. Just over and over. And the truth is, listen, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you could get up and do the same. And we could open it up this morning, and every one of us could stand up and just talk about how God did this in my life. Oh, and I remember that moment there, and we were in a waiting room over there, and God did this, and God did that. Can I tell you this morning? It's a whole lot easier to trust God and wait on Him when you're mindful of all the things that He's done in your life. When you're aware of all the blessings, when you're aware of how we were in slavery in Egypt, and God came and He brought us out. We didn't have anything. I mean, we had nothing. We were slaves. And God gave us the jewels of a very wealthy land. God gave us the clothes. God gave us everything that we had, and God set us up for this journey. Oh, by the way, this morning we went outside our tents, and guess what was there on the ground? Another meal from God. And He met this need, and He met that need. And I just want to tell you this morning, listen, if we'll just be mindful of the things that God is doing in our lives, and we'll just watch for Him at work in our lives, it's a whole lot easier to trust on Him and wait on Him, knowing all He's done for you in your life. And yet, can I tell you, here's what the devil does. He comes along and he blinds us in the moment. He says, look at what you got going on in your life right now. I mean, don't be aware of what God has done for you. Just look at the circumstance. I mean, you had an awful day yesterday. Where is God for you now? You need an answer and your God won't even answer you right now. Where is He? He's abandoned you. And over again, can I tell you, we believe the lies of the devil. He's crafty. He's cunning. He places circumstances all around us that blind us to what's right in front of our face. And I can tell you what's right in front of our face is the absolute goodness of God. The blessings. The good things. And all we see are the circumstances. I tell you, that's why it's important to continue to do right even when you're in the waiting room of life. Say, God, I'm in a timeout here. Don't know what to do, but I can tell you this, just continue to do right. Get up and read your Bible and spend time with Him even when you don't feel like it. I mean, it's a struggle some mornings, isn't it? It's a struggle. I love the words of the song this morning, Lord, I need You. Because there's sometimes that we just have to wake up and that has to be on our mind. Lord, I need You today. I cannot do this on my own. Listen, can I tell you, come to church even when it's difficult. There's sometimes you're like, I just don't want to deal with the questions. I don't want to have to answer somebody when they ask me about my circumstance, how it's going. I don't want to give them negative information one more time. And yet we just got to continue to do what we know is right. Continue to serve even when you're hurting. There are times where you're like, I just don't feel like it. And yet I'll just tell you, listen, God may have you in a holding area of life. He says, I'm getting ready to bring you out of this, but just trust me. Just follow after me. Listen, I wonder what a difference it would have made if when they reached for those earrings, if they would have thought back to a couple months ago, when we were there in Egypt, we had no answer. We prayed for a God to deliver us. And here are these earrings and here are these jewels in which God did deliver us. And God brought us out. And God gave us these things. And then I think about just a few days later, we're there on the banks of the Red Sea, and God just opens up the Red Sea. He parts it left and right. And we can walk across on dry land, and only God could do that. And listen, if God did those things before, listen, God can do it in our situation now. And yet here they are. They fashioned a golden calf made with their hands. And this is now their God. They could have a God that did all these things, or they could have a God that they took the things that that God had given to them to make with their own hands this God. And I would just say this morning, it was a cheap imitation. And surely, surely, if they just would have learned to wait on God, God would help them. Can I tell you this morning, learn to be patient in life. Learn to enjoy the fellowship with God that comes from those periods of waiting. I think back in my own life, and I think about some of just the sweetest times of fellowship that I've had with God. Or in the midst of when everything else in my life was chaotic. And all I could do is say, Lord, I have to have your help. I can't do this in my own strength. May we learn to enjoy the fellowship that just comes in those waiting rooms. Those times in which God has called a time out in our life and there's just a period of uncertainty. We don't know all that he's doing, but we know this, that we can trust his plan and we can trust his timing. Learn to wait on God and then learn to recognize his blessings. They're all around you. But listen, recognize his blessings. See them today. Start with your life. What has God done for you? Start with those people that he's put around you, those things that he's put around you. These things have been given to you from God. You just have to recognize them. And I would say this morning, the devil offers a cheap imitation that has fooled many. Don't fall for it. Trust God, wait on God, and see God at work. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know how God may have worked in your life through the preaching of God's word this morning. But I can tell you this morning that as we see God at work in our lives, it just causes us to remember, just wait on him a little longer. You may be dealing with some difficult circumstances or some difficulty in your life right now. You may just need to say, Lord, give me the strength to hold on a little bit longer. Help me to recognize your blessings in the midst of this. Lord, I don't want to go chasing after these other things. I just want to find them in you. So, Lord, give me the strength to do that. Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, help us to be mindful of how absolutely good you are to us in our lives. Lord, it may be that you brought us to a period of waiting. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to wait on you. Give us the strength, give us the patience to do that. Lord, help us to recognize your goodness as it's all around us. And Lord, when you've been good in the past, it's a reminder of what you're going to do in our lives. So Lord, help us today. I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they'd come and talk to someone up here this morning and get saved. Well, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.